just a few things tonight that I feel led of God to say. Now, it's going to seem like we just keep hitting the same thing. We don't know what else to preach on around here. But I assure you that's not the case. I try to preach as I feel the Lord lead me. I've got just several messages burning in my notes ready to be preached. But the Lord knew things. God just, I thank the Lord. He's been giving me new thoughts and revelations. But the Lord actually led me to preach something that He revealed to me a couple years ago. And it's something that I don't believe I have preached on specifically behind this pulpit yet. I've gone to preach on it several times, and then the Lord just kept saying, no, no, no. But I felt released today to talk on this. I do believe that this message could change your life if you allow it to. This message could transform your walk with God. This message can prepare you for a great ministry. Everybody say great ministry. I want to talk to you about something that has shaped my life and ministry. It's not been something that's always come easy for me. It's something that I still have to face every single day and fight every single day. But if we are able to hold on, grab a hold of this, then I believe that we will see great success in the kingdom of God. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 12 says, "And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. So Samuel came to Saul in Gilgal, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord." Now, in context of the rest of these verses, this next statement is pretty bold. And if you know the story, you know what I'm talking about. He says this, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." That's a pretty bold statement, right? In the context of what we're about to read, he had not, in fact, performed the commandment of the Lord. He strayed away from the commandment of the Lord. And it was quite clear to him, to Samuel, and to all who were around him, that Saul did not fulfill the commandments of the Lord. Why in the world would he stand there, bold-faced, declaring this, "I have performed the commandments of the Lord"? And I can tell you, it's a nasty little word called pride. Pride. Verse 14, "And Samuel said, What meaneth then this?" I love that. He just goes straight at him. He said, "Well, you're claiming you've perfectly followed the commandments of the Lord, but I hear the bleating of the sheep in mine ears, the lowing of the ox. Didn't the commandments of the Lord tell you to destroy the sheep and the ox and the Amalekites and all that were a part of that kingdom? Didn't the Lord give you a specific commandment as to what to do with all animals?" Praise God. I mean, he's sitting there. He's standing there knowing the Lord told him to destroy everything. He's hearing the sound of the sheep and the oxen, and yet he could still bold-faced say, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Look at me, how upright I am." Verse 15, "And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people heard the best sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Oh, I know they didn't do what you told them to do, but they had good intentions. They only prepared these, and the rest we have utterly destroyed, which again was not true, because he left the king of the Amalekites alive. Verse 16, this saw, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And Samuel said unto, and or Saul said unto Samuel, rather, say on. Verse 17, this is where I'd really like to draw a sermon title from and emphasize. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. Oh, Jesus. When thou wast little in thine own sight. Everybody say, little in thine own sight. When thou wast little in thine own sight, didn't the Lord do great things for you? Didn't the Lord make you the head of the tribe of Israel? Didn't the Lord anoint thee king over Israel when you were little in your own sight? And the Lord sent thee on a journey. He said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. Fight against them until they be completely consumed. Wherefore, why didn't you obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you fly upon the spoil? Why did you do evil in the sight of the Lord? I know these are heavy verses. It's going to get a little heavier. Let's read verse 26. 1 Samuel 15, 26. We can see the end of this discussion between Samuel and Saul. 1 Samuel 15, 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Praise God. I know that's heavy. Today, though, I do feel a specific command of the Lord to preach this. I'm going to preach for a little while on seeing yourself as small. Seeing yourself as small. Oh, praise God. If only we might get that perspective today. If only we might grab a hold of that viewpoint today. And I know that's contrary to what the world will tell you. That's contrary to what people might suggest. You got to puff out your chest. You got to make yourself big. You got to make yourself strong. But I tell you, it's the opposite in the kingdom of God. We got to make ourselves small. Hallelujah. If you believe that, say amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, we open up our hearts and our minds to you. We ask you to speak directly into our hearts and minds. We pray that, Lord, you would lead us and guide us and help us today to see ourselves the way that we ought to see ourselves. Help us today to see ourselves, Lord Jesus, as small and not big. Lord, as humble and not prideful. Bring us to this place today of humility in your presence. For it's not all about me, Lord, but not my will. Thy will be done in this house and in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Everybody shout amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Samuel addressed the rebellion of Saul, the disobedience of Saul. This wouldn't be his first time of rebellion or disobedience. There would be multiple occasions where Saul would break the commandments of God, would step outside of his lane, would assume a responsibility and a role that God did not call him in. In this situation, he took liberties that were not his to take. Samuel told him at one point that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's how serious God takes it. But we see here the source, the problem. We see here that all of these sins, the rebellion, the disobedience, it stemmed from an inner working in Saul's heart. It stemmed from a sin that was down deep within him. Yes, these outward signs of rebellion, these outward signs of disobedience, he would not have taken those liberties had he not viewed himself incorrectly. You see, when Saul first began his ministry, when Saul was first called by God, Samuel made this statement, "Thou saw yourself as small. You were small in your own eyes." Now, when he says that, he means quite literally that's Saul's perspective. If we look at 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 20, this is Samuel speaking to Saul. He says, "As for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them. I know you are out searching for that stuff, but truly God has brought you to me because you've got a greater purpose. Those donkeys are already found." He makes this statement. This is a big statement. "On whom is all the desire of Israel?" All of Israel were searching, calling for a king. And he presents this question, this rhetorical question to Saul. "On whom is all the desires of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house?" Oh, praise the Lord. If I may, I know I've already began down this negative route, but let me assure you today, I'm not presenting something that is going to make you small. I am presenting something that's going to position you for great things in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. For he came to Saul as a little person in his own eyes, but he was presenting with him a great calling, a great anointing, a great purpose. And if I may say this, this is a general statement. I believe this for every person in this place. You've got a great calling. You've got a great anointing. You've got a great purpose in the kingdom of God. If I may dare to say, you've got a great higher purpose in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that today for yourself? That's all right. Clap your hands unto the Lord and receive it. I do have a great calling. I do have a great anointing. Hallelujah. Now I assure you today, the greatness of your calling, the greatness of your anointing, the greatness of your purpose, having a viewpoint that you are called for greatness is not necessarily the problem. Saul was called to greatness. You've got greatness inside of you by the Holy Ghost. You can't help but to be great in the kingdom of God when you've got the Spirit of God inside. Hey, listen, this is in my notes, but let me tell you, the Bible says, Jesus said, hallelujah, that there has been none greater than John the Baptist. But here's what he said, even the least in the kingdom of God by the Spirit of the Lord is greater than John the Baptist. What does that mean? It means that even you sitting here today, maybe you've done nothing for the Lord, but you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you. You are called to be even greater than John the Baptist. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Jesus says, greater than things than I've done, ye shall do. Oh, I'm thankful that he's going to do great things through me. Oh, I hope you get excited about what the Lord's calling you to. I hope you get excited about the greatness inside of you. It's not boastful. This is not boastful. A great purpose for my soul. Oh, you should declare it. And every time the devil comes and tries to knock you down, you remind him of the greatness of God that's inside of you. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Look at this, 1 Samuel 9:21. On whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee, Saul, and all thy father's house? Oh, I don't know. I can't get away from that. I feel the Lord. He's saying it. There's greatness on you. There's greatness in you. Oh, there's greatness in your house. There's greatness on your children. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you're great, but there's greatness on you. And there's greatness in you. Oh, Jesus. There's greatness on you. Verse 21. I'm sorry, Brother William. Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite? Aren't the Benjamites of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family is the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore, are you talking to me? Right? Are you talking to me? Hey, listen, that should be our perspective at the beginning, right? I've lived a life of sin. I've lived a life of disobedience and rebellion. And I've lived a life that's no good. Are you talking to me, Jesus? Maybe today that's your perspective. You're saying, Pastor, are you talking to me? You don't know my past. I don't need to know your past. Hallelujah. Yes, you're small. And that's okay. Keep that perspective. But that doesn't mean the Lord doesn't have great things for you and your life. Yes, Jesus. Literally, the tribe of Benjamin was the smallest tribe in Israel at that time. He's saying, why in the world would the Israelites want somebody from the smallest tribe? They were so small that it would only take 4 generations of kings before they'd be completely, well, really only maybe 3 generations. I believe it occurred during David's time. Only 3 generations before they would be dissolved into the children of Judah. And they would even lose their name. They'd just be considered part of Judah. That's how small Benjamin was. Saul came with that perspective of himself. I don't know that I'm worthy. Oh, Jesus. I don't know that I'm worthy for this great calling. I don't know that I deserve this great anointing. Oh, Jesus. Hey, let me answer that question for you, Saul. You're not worthy. And let me just go ahead and inform you today. You're not worthy. Praise God. I can tell you today, if it's on my own merit, I am not worthy to stand behind this pulpit. I'm not worthy of carrying the title of pastor. If it's based on my own merit, hallelujah, then I am a no good, rotten scoundrel. Oh, but if it's based on what the Lord is doing inside of me, that changes the equation. It transforms the perspective. Oh, come on now. You're not worthy. I'm not being mean. I'm not being nasty. I'm just telling you the truth, the Bible truth. We're not worthy. We're not. Oh, praise God. Oh, listen. I was about to say we're lucky. It's not luck. It's mercy. It's grace. If it wasn't for the grace of God on my life, where would I be? If it wasn't for the grace of God on my life, where would I be? I wouldn't be in church today. I wouldn't be standing behind this pulpit. I wouldn't have the family that I've got. I wouldn't have the wife that I have. I wouldn't have the home that I own. If it wasn't for the grace of God. Oh, Jesus. Saul, he had this perspective that he perspective actually made him great. Oh, Jesus. But let me assure you, Saul was never small. Saul was never insignificant. Saul always had a presence. The Bible tells us that when it came down for him to be anointed before the children of Israel, that Saul actually hid himself because he says, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve the kingship. I don't deserve the throne. Come on, when the Lord gives you opportunities, there should be a little thing inside of you that hides yourself a little bit and says, I don't know. Can I? Should I? But I want you to see this. The Bible says that he hid himself among the stuff. But he was so tall, he had to hide himself. He stood. This is 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 23. If you could throw that up, William. Says they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, that tells me he was crouched down somewhere. He was hiding himself, making himself small somewhere. No eyes on me. Listen, yeah, that's a blessed place to be. God blesses those who say, no eyes on me. And you know what he does? He'll bring you out of hiding. Sometimes when you don't even want to, he'll bring you out of hiding and he'll exalt you and he'll honor you and he'll bless you. But look, Saul was never small. He stood higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. This was a big dude. He got out from hiding, and he stood taller from his shoulders up. There was no hiding that man, right? Not when he stood tall. Praise the Lord. Saul, again, was never small. He always had a presence. And as long as he saw himself, everybody say, saw himself. As being small, then he would have massive potential. As long as he saw himself as small, he'd have the kingdom of God. Oh, Jesus. Hear me today. My message is not to belittle you or to make you feel like you are insignificant or incapable. If the Lord has called you, He's made you capable. Praise the Lord. Haven't you ever heard it? If it's His will, it's His bill. Well, I believe that if the Lord's calling you to it, you may feel like you are incapable today, but the Lord's going to give you the talents and the gifts and the abilities that you need in order to accomplish what the Lord has called you to accomplish. Hallelujah. Stay small, but also see your massive potential in Jesus Christ. Because the kingdom is to the humble. Everybody say, the kingdom is to the humble. This is a kingdom principle. I have so many scriptures, I'm not going to be able to get to even half of them. Everybody say, thank God. I won't even be able to get to half of them because this is so ingrained in every aspect of the New Testament. It is so ingrained in every aspect of Jesus' walk. It's so ingrained in every aspect of the church. It's supposed to be. It's a kingdom principle. In fact, and we'll talk about scriptures later on, that tell us you cannot even enter into the kingdom of heaven without humility. You can't even approach the kingdom without humility. And if you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you have come into the kingdom and you don't stay humble, then you will lose the kingdom. There's a reason why the Lord's Prayer says this: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because the kingdom comes with a submission to the will of God. Oh, Jesus. The kingdom comes through submission to the will of God. Unless you think that, again, I'm making a bigger deal of this than it should be, can I remind you that even God Himself humbled Himself and became a man? And I'm going to just talk about this briefly. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you. Everybody say, give me this mind. Give me this perspective. Give me this viewpoint. Help me to adopt what Jesus thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? It means that even though Jesus was a man, He thought it not robbery to declare Himself God. Verse 7. He made Himself of no reputation. I'm thinking, if I'm God and I want to change the world, man, I need to put myself in a palace. But He didn't. He put Himself in a stable. I need to put myself on a throne. But He didn't. He put Himself in a manger. He made Himself of no reputation. He didn't come with a boasted viewpoint from other people. He took upon Himself the form of a servant. Oh, Jesus. He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. Talk about the one person in the whole world who didn't need to humble Himself. But Jesus did. He humbled himself. And through his humility, he found obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, it was obedience that put him on that cross, but it was humility that gave him obedience. It was rebellion, disobedience, that caused Saul to lose his kingdom. But it was his pride that caused him to walk in disobedience and rebellion. Verse 9, wherefore, God, everybody say God, also hath highly exalted him. Because he humbled himself, the Lord exalted him. The Lord exalted that man. The Lord exalted the only begotten Son, born Son, and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What are you saying? I'm saying hallelujah, that when you humble yourself, the Lord will exalt you. The kingdom is given to those who humble themselves. James 4 and 10. I'm going to go through these just as quickly as I can. I can't make every point, but I want you, I feel like the Lord wants to just saturate us with the word on this today. James 4 and 10. Humble yourselves. Everybody say, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And he shall lift yourself, you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. This is a kingdom principle that when I humble myself, I will be exalted. I know I got so much, I can't get lost in stories, but I feel the Lord putting this in my heart. When I was a younger preacher, I said that on Sunday at Boca, and they laughed at it, like hysterically laughed at it when I said younger preacher. I took a little offense, then I humbled myself, praise God. But I was a young preacher, and I was trying to do the will of God. I was working at youth camps in Ocala, Florida, and there's three different youth camps. I went to one just to be a worker, right? I was a preacher, but, you know, I just wanted to go work. And so I went there, and they put me in the kitchen. It's not the place I love to be, right? Praise God. But they put me in the kitchen. I remember the first day, they had different shifts. The first day, I had somebody come to me, and they said, Aaron, they've asked me to sing tonight in service. Can you cover my shift in the kitchen? All right, yeah, not a problem. I can cover your shift. So there I was in the kitchen doing the dishes. I didn't get out of the kitchen until well after the service had started. The next day, somebody else came to me. I said, hey, Aaron, they asked me to sing tonight in service. Can you cover my shift in the kitchen? I was like, oh, man, I didn't know I'd come here to do dishes all week. At that point, I started thinking, you know, I like to sing. How about I go sing and you cover my shift in the kitchen, praise God. But you know, God was just teaching me these principles. I just said, all right, you know what? You go sing, I'll take your shift. I'll tell you, I spent most of that week in the kitchen doing the dishes for 250 young people. It was disgusting. But there I was doing the dishes all week long, doing the dishes while everybody else got opportunities, while everybody else was going and singing, while everybody else was doing this and doing that. Hallelujah. Well, that camp ended on Friday. On Monday, it started the next camp, and it was my age group. And so I actually went as a camper, not as a worker. I went there. The very first service, everybody say the first service. The first service, they were scrambling around trying to find some musicians and some singers. And I don't know why. I still to this day don't know why they called me out. But they said, hey, Aaron, I don't know if you sing or not, but can you come help me? That was the first morning service. That night they came back. Hey, Aaron, can you help us sing tonight? And I can tell you, I sang every single service that week. Because when you humble yourself, the Lord sees it, and the Lord will exalt you. Please understand, I take no credit for any of this. But the next year, when I went to youth camp, they had elected me into a position where I was then one of the leaders of the camp. I was only 18 years old. Half the people didn't know if I was a camper or a leader. Praise God, because I was so young. But they elect me into a position where I was running the camps. Again, that's not to exalt me whatsoever, but simply say, when you humble yourself, you shall be lifted up. Won't you clap your hands to the Lord again? Proverbs 22 and 4. Proverbs 22 and 4. And William, you're about to get to a point where I didn't have a chance to put the verses in there. But I know you can handle it. Praise God. Proverbs 22 and 4. By humility. Everybody say humility. And the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. That's a big statement right there, isn't it? And again, this is contrary to what you're going to hear out there. You're going to hear out there, I got a book. I was wanting to learn how to connect with people better. So I started buying all these books. I got this book. It was about how to connect with people. It was all about how to exalt yourself, to be a presence when you walk in the room, to dominate the conversation. I got about halfway through and I tossed it, hallelujah, because I said, this is not biblical. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about not having a natural or a spiritual calling on your life where the Lord exalts you. I'm talking about purposefully being humble in the fear of the Lord. And the Lord's going to do what the world says won't happen. He will bless you with riches and honor and life. Hallelujah. Verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul, everybody say keep his soul, shall be far from them. What does that mean? It means that I am responsible of maintaining that perspective. I have to keep my soul from being puffed up. I have to keep myself small. And let me tell you, the larger you get in ministry, the larger you get in influence, the harder it is to keep yourself small. This is why it's important, though. Matthew 23 and 11. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Matthew 23 and 11. But he that is greatest, everybody say greatest, among you shall be your servant. Doesn't mean he's not the greatest, right? This is the understanding here. My perspective needs to be I'm small. My perspective needs to be I'm a servant. And if I will maintain that perspective, everybody else may see me as the greatest, maybe even God himself. But I have to see me as small. Oh, Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Hear me today. You've got to humble yourself to God. You've got to humble yourself in prayer. You've got to humble yourself in fasting. I told the Lord I got too many notes. I'm just going to go off the Spirit. Hallelujah, these aren't in my notes, but I feel it in the Holy Ghost. You got to humble yourself through praise. You got to humble yourself in the presence of the Lord. You can't come to him with your chest puffed out. You can't come to him. That's why I suggest, I encourage people to bow down. Why? Because it's a position of humility. Hallelujah. A position of humility. I've got to humble myself in the presence of the Lord. And before I add on to that, let me tell you the biblical truth. Pride goeth before destruction. Proverbs 16 and 18. Proverbs verse, chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. It tells us pride goeth before destruction. Destruction follows pride. An haughty spirit before a fall. If you maintain your pride, your self-will, if you don't humble yourself, inevitably there is a fall in your future. Saul recognized that. Yeah, Saul, at one point God did exalt you when you were small. But when your perspective changed, when your pride got stirred, it came to the destruction of your kingdom and the fall of the crown. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. I almost named this sermon, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Because today that's the truth. The bigger you puff yourself up in your own mind, in your own spirit, the harder the fall is. Again, we don't always preach like this. Please understand. I just know God has been working. Hallelujah. I've got a different perspective of this than maybe a lot of people do. Because my success, if you will call it success, didn't come until after I had given myself to God. Before I gave myself to God, I was in a bad path. I was doing things I shouldn't be doing. I was working a full-time job. I hadn't done school in probably 3 or 4 years. It's 3 or 4 years behind in school. Basically completely gave it up. I was homeschooled, but I wasn't doing it. I wasn't participating in it. I was not smart. I can tell you that clearly. I don't know that I'm smart today, but the Lord's helped me somewhat. I was not smart. I could not write. My English was horrible. I didn't know all the stuff I know today. I didn't have any of that knowledge. I was talking to women that were no good. No good for me. I mean, my life was heading down when I found Jesus. And then when I found Jesus and I started to give myself to Him, He put in me a desire to get an education, and I ended up getting a college degree. He put it in me, hallelujah, to get a good job. He put it in me to find my wife and the type of wife that I've got. He put it in me to save my money. He put it in me to raise my kids the way that I've raised them. He put it in me to work in the ministry. What are you saying? But I'm saying it just all came when I gave myself to God. The reason I say some people might have a different perspective is because maybe you found your success before God. You found your success before committing your life to Christ. It's a different perspective. I literally owe everything to Jesus. I owe everything to Jesus. But if we're not careful, we can see the things that we have and say, I did that. We can see the things that we've done and say, I did that. Don't you know the Bible says that because of Him, we live and move and have our being? Hallelujah. I can tell you today, if God was in your life or not in your life, the Lord gave you those abilities and those talents and the wisdom to be able to acquire what you have. All I'm saying here today is you got to give it to Him. Humble yourself and give it to Him. James 4 and 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud. He resisteth the proud. What does that mean? I think it simply means He's not going to accept you into the kingdom. He's not going to answer your prayers. He's not going to give you the desires of your heart. If you're out there doing it all for you, He'll let you. Right? And maybe you'll get there. Maybe you'll get it. Maybe you will. But I promise you, it's not going to be as blessed as it is with the Lord's help. It's not going to be as anointed as it is with God's help. Oh, brothers and sisters, humble yourself. He giveth grace unto the humble. I want that grace, that blessing, that anointing, that calling, that purpose in the presence of God. James 4 and 7. You guys ready for a bad word? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. I mean, it's just as bold, as straightforward as it possibly can be, right? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Let me just tell you what I feel. I feel we've got to submit our perspective of ourselves to the Lord. If you put all of your stock in your own abilities, the moment you lose it, you'll also lose yourself in the middle of it. But if you look to Him and you submit yourself unto the Lord, if you've got a lot or if you've got a little, it's all okay because I'm in the hands of God. Hallelujah. And I've submitted myself to the Lord. Listen to this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist. Everybody say resist. The devil. And he will flee from you. This right here, it could sound like it's randomly placed. He's talking about being humble. He's talking about how God resists the proud. Why in the world does he change it and start talking about resisting the devil? Because the devil, he knows how to make you fall. The devil doesn't always come to you with negative thoughts. Sometimes he comes to you with great thoughts about yourself. No, no. Don't you remember? You're awesome. You're great. Look at all this wealth you've acquired. Look at your strength. Nobody could mess with you. He starts to boast you up. The devil is out to boast you up. The devil wants your head so big that you can't walk through the door of the church. Right? He wants your head so big that you'll never be able to submit yourself to God. But he says if you resist the devil, what does that mean? It means you keep reminding him, hey, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. But he's everything. I got nothing. He's got it all in his hands. Anybody know what caused the fall of the devil? If you know it, shout it. Pride. Pride. The Bible says he looked at himself. He looked at his glory and his splendor. And he says, I am like unto God. You know, the devil never wanted to be exalted above God. He just wanted to be with God. And listen, that's where we might get. We get to that place where we exalt ourselves. We're not saying we're better than God. But look at all I got. Look at what all I've done. Look at all who I am. Oh, Jesus. I can tell you next to him, I'm nothing. Next to him, I can do nothing. Next to him, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I've got very little. Next to him, the Bible says, my righteousness is as dirty rags. That's my righteousness. On my most holy day, next to his garments, I'm wearing nothing but dirty rags. That's a humbling thought, isn't it? That no matter how good I think I am, I'm still never going to be as good as him. But the devil doesn't want you to think that. The devil wants you to think that you're right in everything that you do. I'll tell you, as pastor, it's hard. I get a lot of people who give me destructive criticism. I get it all the time. And I've got a hard thing I have to do. And this is something that I've tried to practice. I'm not always successful at it, but I've tried to practice this. No matter how destructive it is, I try to take it seriously. And I will honestly go to the Lord and I'll say, Jesus, are they right? Because if they're right, I don't want to be wrong. I'm not going to presume that just because I'm pastor that I'm right. Or just because I'm a preacher or this or that, that I'm right. I'm going to recognize that I am not perfect and I can be wrong. That's what it means to resist the devil. Resist the temptation to exalt yourself. Resist the temptation to say, no, I've got it all together. I don't need to listen to that voice. Resist the temptation of saying, I did this. Verse 10, the very next verse. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not the next verse. It's a couple verses down, but it says this. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If you're dealing with pride, the answer is to humble yourself. Saul became large in his own eyes. He took steps he shouldn't have taken. He tried to act in the office of a priest at one point. He didn't listen to God when he told him to destroy the Amalekites. And then when he was presented with his pride and his sin, he attempted to shift the blame to everybody else. We've got to come humbly and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done. And Lord, if I'm wrong, I ask you to teach me how to do right. Help me to listen to every word. Doesn't mean I have to take seriously every word, but I do need to consider those words and how it could impact me. I'm going to try to skip some of this, and again, I've got so much, but there's one couple things I feel I need to say specifically. I only got a couple minutes here. If this is the case, where does confidence come in? How can I walk in confidence in Christ if this is the case? If you can, head in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 through 31. It starts out, and this is just, let me tell you, these are some humbling verses right here. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than I am. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's what I said, right? If I'm standing next to God, I can't even compare. I want you to get this. Verse 26. For you see, everybody say you see, your calling is what we're talking about, right? The perspective of our calling. What is our calling? Well, I can tell you, your calling wasn't that you were wise. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen. What is this saying? I'm going to tell you exactly what he's saying. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about our calling. He is literally saying that we are unwise, we're foolish, we're weak, and you're basic. That's what he's saying. You're foolish, you're weak, and you're basic, as the kids would say. Hey, is it not true? Is it not true? Praise God. Without him, that is absolutely true. Without him, I'm just the basic of the world. I'm despised. For some reason, he chose me. For some reason, he didn't despise me. He looked at this basic person, and he chose me. Hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring naught things that are. Why would he choose me? Verse 29. I quote this often. This is the reason he chose you. That no flesh should glory in his presence. He wanted it to be. The only wisdom I've got is from him. The only strength I've got is from him. The only power I've got is from him. Why is that? Because when Saul, they come to you and they say, hey, can we keep the cattle and the sheep? You're going to exalt yourself, make yourself look real good. Oh, yeah, as king, I declare you can do this. Saul, you're going to get the glory for that. No, I want you to destroy them all. Why? Because Saul, that glory isn't yours. It's the Lord's. That glory isn't yours. It's God. Hallelujah. No flesh shall glory in his presence. I don't care if you preach the greatest sermon. That's not your glory. I don't care if you heal the sick. That's not your glory. I don't care if you raise the dead. That's not your glory. I don't care how much money you got in the bank account. That's not your glory. That's the Lord's glory. That's the Lord's glory today. And look, verse 30. But of him, everybody say of him, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. He's saying, from God, who is the source of these things, he's given us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's given us these things. Why would he give those to us? Verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Oh, Jesus. You're made for greatness. Everybody say, I'm made for greatness. But that glory isn't yours. It's his. If I gave you a bottle of water, I guarantee you're not going to care one bit about this vessel. You just want what's inside of it. God forbid we think this vessel is anything at all. No, it's what's inside of me that's great. It's what's inside of me. Therefore, I can't get the glory. Only he can get the glory. Glory in the Lord. My calling is because of God. My anointing is because of God. My blessing is because of God. Look on your calling and recognize that you're great not because you are great, but because of what's in you. He's going to use the basic to do extraordinary things. Because no flesh shall glory in his presence. In comparison to God, we are small. And we must remain small. We must declare, like John the Baptist, who was the greatest voice in his generation at the time, he must increase, but I must decrease. And look, I got so many verses. I'm trying to just hit the highlights here. The Bible says this, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. There's something I felt in prayer I need to talk about. It's comparison. If I compare myself to God, I'll always see me as small. But if I compare myself with others, I might have a different perspective. If I compare myself with others in this world, I may try to exalt myself, or worse, I will diminish myself. I will diminish the calling of God in my life. You can have confidence in God. The Bible says to be strong in the Lord. I don't need to worry about being strong. I just need to be strong in Him. Be mighty in Him. Praise God. It doesn't matter if I'm the wisest, strongest, best, as long as I am strong in the Lord. That's what matters. So when I compare myself to other people, not only am I at risk of destroying that relationship, but I'm also destroying my perspective, my God-given perspective of me being small and God being great in me. Because I'm comparing the God in me with the God in them. And that is not the Lord's will. Let me also say, it is not God's will for you to exalt yourself. I know we're living in the YouTube generation, Facebook, Instagram, social media, where in order to get ahead, you have to do something crazy on Facebook, right? You got to do some sort of YouTube video or something like that. I am certainly not knocking streams of influence that God has given us. We live stream our videos. I've done videos, things like that. But let me emphasize, we cannot exalt ourselves. It's not about my brand. I was listening to a sermon today. I shared it on the group leaders. If you'd like to hear it, I'll send it to you, of Brother Braden Anderson, talking about the Jesus Tent Revival. Anybody ever heard of the Jesus Tent Revival? It is being spread right now around the world. Thousands and thousands of people are getting baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost through the Jesus Tent Revival. Now there's other teams in Canada doing the Jesus Tent Revival all over the place. And he said this. He says, I believe the reason for it is because we didn't call it the Braden Anderson Revival. We called it the Jesus Tent Revival. Hallelujah. I'm here to glorify God, not Aaron Meehan. I'm here to glorify Him. I'm here to put before you God, Christ, not me. Proverbs 27:2. And I'm almost done. I'm going to say this. I'll give you just one last point, and then we will finish. Proverbs 27:2. Let another, everybody say another. Let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth. Let a stranger praise thee, not thine own lips. There's a reason why God honors and blesses secret consecration. There's a reason why God honors and blesses when we do things in secret, because we're not trying to expose ourselves. There's a reason why God honors it, because when we speak it, when we put it out, we're going to get exactly what we want, and that's the attention of people. But we will lose the attention of God. Let them praise you. Don't worry about praising yourself. Let the Lord exalt you. Don't worry about exalting yourself. Let God bring the influence that you need to fulfill His will. You don't have to try to get it yourself. Let the Lord do it. Everybody say, let the Lord do it. How about we stand today? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. One more passage of scripture and I'll give us an opportunity here just to come and humble ourselves in the presence of God. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, it says, and said, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. Everybody say converted. What does conversion look like? This is what conversion looks like. Except ye be converted and become as little children. When I pray, if I'll just come as a little child, I tell you, he'll be a great big father that's going to want to answer your prayers. What does conversion look like? It looks like me becoming a little child. Me being little in mine own eyes. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You can't be boastful, prideful, and enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. Look at what he says. The same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If I view myself as a little child in the presence of God, he says that same person shall become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But I gotta view myself as a small child. I gotta be little in mine own eyes. Oh, praise the Lord. I know this has been a long lesson, but I wonder if we could take just a couple minutes right now to come down to this altar, view ourselves as a little child, and just say, God, I humble myself before you. I don't have great strength. I don't have great wisdom. I don't have great power. In fact, Lord, I got very little that I can offer the kingdom of God. I got very little to my name. But God, everything I do have, I give it to you. Oh, yes, I feel an outpouring of the Holy Ghost occurring right now. Oh, that's right. When you humble yourself, hallelujah, the Lord will pour out his spirit upon you in Jesus' name. Oh, oh, Jesus, I'm not great, but I know you're great in me. Lord, I humble myself. I come to you as a little child. I come to you small, Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.